Matt Bubala with you here for another 20 minutes on 720 WGN. Adam Roberts has spent the last quarter century working for animal protection and wildlife conservation around the world. He joins us on the phone right now to talk about what's going on with the Trump administration and the yes or no decision they're trying to make about whether or not to lift the trophy ban on bringing elephant parts back to the United States. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm good.
Thanks for jumping on the phone. When it was first announced that they were going to lift it before the backlash and before President Trump decided to hold back for a minute, what was your first reaction? Were you not surprised that they were lifting that restriction, or were you taken by surprise?
No, I have to say I was taken by surprise for a variety of reasons. Now, the most important one is the ongoing conservation peril that the African elephant finds itself in, being poached all across Africa for its ivory. Surely this isn't the time to be reopening any trade into the United States of elephant ivory. But then the second part that I found so surprising was that they specifically recognized Zimbabwe as one of the two countries that they were considering letting elephant trophies come in from, because Zimbabwe, of course, is practically lawless and up until the past week had been run by a ruthless dictator in his own right, Robert Mugabe. And so if you're going to pick any country, Zimbabwe was certainly not the one to do it. So it was really mystifying to me why at this time, from that place, the administration was considering letting trophy huntings come into the country.
There's an argument on the other side that allowing the hunting helps conservation efforts. Is that true in any way?
Yeah, it's not true, it's not proven, and it's in its own right a mystifying argument. I've been thinking lately about all of this debate in Washington about tax reform and how we're trying to give corporate tax cuts in the hopes that corporations would then have more money and that money would be used to raise wages and hire more employees, this concept of trickle-down economics. Well, it seems to me that that's the same fallacy at work here, where we hope that because trophy hunters pay for the privilege of these thrill kills in Africa, that somehow the money is going to make it to conservation. The fact of the matter is, most of these hunting corporations, these hunting outfitters that do the safaris, are foreign-owned. They're in Germany, they're in the United States. So the bulk of the money isn't even making it into the country where the animals exist. And then what money does make it into the country pay for the hunt, for the vehicles, for the tents, for the safari itself. So very little money, about 2% on average, is actually making it down to the local communities. And then, of course, any money that does make it to the local communities is not necessarily going to conservation. So it's really not a very strong argument that just because it costs money to pay for safari hunts, the money is necessarily being used for conservation.
My guess is the argument would be that if you're allowing them to hunt, the money is there, hunters want to go do this, that means it's in the best interests of the locals who are going to be able to take people on tours and do things like that to make sure that there are elephants, that there are these animals. So they want to make sure that they're breeding them, saving them, doing all those things because it's a sustaining tourism that helps bring money in. That the government would want to do this because they want this tourism dollars coming in. That if we don't allow the tourists to go in to hunt, then that money is not there to help the local economy. And then there's no reason for them to help save these elephants or other animals which may need saving. Is there any strength to that argument?
No, again, it sounds good, but the fact of the matter is there's much more money to be made by ecotourism, not hunting tourism, consumptive tourism, than there is by killing animals. In fact, studies have shown that more than 98% of all tourism revenue across the entire African continent comes from wildlife tourism that's not hunting-based. So if we really care about investing in these local economies around the continent, we're going to want to do it in a sustainable way, and that's through ecotourism, not safari hunting. But more importantly, you have to think about, especially in this case, the situation with elephants. You know, African elephants are incredibly long-lived species, right? They live in the wild to be 50, 60, 70 years old. And so if you really want to think about sustainable tourism models that are going to bring money into local economies year after year, you want to keep those animals alive, with people like us going to watch them in the wild, where you have these magical, majestical, matriarchal herds of elephants with grandmothers and daughters, granddaughters, all wandering the savannah together. That's really where the money is, and that's how local economies are going to benefit the most. But then even if you set all of that aside, and even if you accepted that, you know, there was some government impetus to keep these animals safe because the hunting revenue supports the economies, you have to remember, too, that, you know, in some of these countries like Tanzania or Zimbabwe, you've got incredibly corrupt corrupt governments that aren't protecting the wildlife. And in fact, in places where hunting has been allowed in those countries, poaching has escalated, whereas other countries like Botswana have actually closed down their trophy hunting industries because they wanted to protect the wildlife from this unsustainable killing. So it really overall is not a good idea economically or from a conservation basis to allow hunting, especially in a country like Zimbabwe.
So Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, said in a statement later Friday night that the decision applied to two African countries, though it did not name them. President Trump and I have talked and both believe that conservation and healthy herds are critical. As a result, in a manner compliant with all applicable laws, rules, and regulations, the issuing of permits is being put on hold as the decision is being removed. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had signaled its intention to end the 2014 ban, citing Zimbabwe's conservation efforts. On Thursday, the service announced on its website that it would begin issuing permits to allow the import of elephants hunted from 2016 to 2018, with two trophies allowed per import. From 2016 to 2018, so are there people that are there hunting and killing things and then having people hold on to, say, the head that as soon as I can, I'm going to have this sent over? Are there hunts that already took place that people are holding on to pieces from?
Yeah, that must be the case. And I think the 2018 part is especially troubling. You know, the United States Congress has considered stuff like this in the past, where they've looked at legislation on polar bear trophies to allow people who had killed polar bears in places like Canada before it was banned in the United States to bring those trophies back in to allow those animals' trophies to come in because they had already been killed. It looks like they're trying to use that same model. But the problem, especially with the 2018 part, is that this is sort of prospecting, where you can imagine there's going to be a flood of hunters trying to get down and kill these animals in those countries next year in order to take advantage of this potential rule change. So I think that's particularly troubling and definitely would put additional pressure on the nation's elephant population. But again, the rules, the way they've been coming out and the decisions from this administration are really confusing, and one never has a real clear idea of which countries are definitely involved and whether it's happening or not happening. And then, of course, whether there's going to be a backlash either in the courts or in Congress to try and prevent it from going through.
When did President Obama put the ban in place?
So there were a number of rules under the previous administration to protect wild animals and across Africa, but this one came in place in 2014, and that's actually another part of this that's potentially confusing and mystifying and really quite infuriating, is that the Secretary of the Interior and others seem to rely on this concept that there is somehow stability in Zimbabwe, both in terms of government regulation and oversight over hunting and also of elephant populations. But the fact of the matter is, as I mentioned before, elephants are so long-lived, and you're looking at a trajectory of wildlife declines over the past 30, 40 years, that it's simply not going to be rectified or stabilized in simply 2 or 3 years in such a way that we could determine conclusively and scientifically that now is the time to reopen hunting from Zimbabwe. I think if you're looking at something that's happened over the past 2 or 3 years, you're going to need probably 10 or 20 years to study the population and country before you determine that there can be additional pressure put on that population.
Do you feel, not to get too political here, but do you feel that this was just that President Obama put this in place, I'm dismantling whatever I can that Obama did, so here's another thing we're going to do away with?
Well, being someone who reads the papers and watches the news, I could say that's surely part of it. I mean, that wouldn't be folly to consider that that's it. But then also, you know, you look at the president's sons, who both seem to enjoy trophy hunting and have plenty of pictures posted online of them with their kills, including killing elephants previously. So it might be, you know, self-serving in terms of his ego and his relationship with the former president, but also his family. But he has said, Donald Trump, in the past, that while his sons enjoy hunting, he doesn't. The third part, in addition to those two reasons, is that it could just be pressure from Safari Club International through the Department of Interior, seeing an opportunity to start hunting again under this administration.
Were you surprised then when he pulled back on it? Because generally, to me, love him or hate him, President Trump is not one who caves too much. In my mind, that's more where he'll dig his heels in. Like, if you fight back on him, that's when he's going to put up more of a stand to say, no, this is my decision. This is what we're going to do. So I was very surprised when he pulled back on it, at least for the time being.
Yeah, surprised obviously is an interesting word with this administration, but you know, so yes, on the one hand, one could say surprised, because when this president decides something's happening for whatever reason, he becomes entrenched and is willing to double and triple down on his decision. On the other hand, he also very much cares about public perception, and so when you've got conservative thought leaders like Laura Ingraham even coming out online and saying, you know, this is a ridiculous decision, and you've got so many comments in social media talking about how poor this was thought through, that may have played into his thinking that there was really a public backlash, and he obviously wants, you know, people to love his decision. So that could have played a part in it as well.
So what do you think happens long term? And what, say this hunting ban stays in place, is enough being done in those countries to save these elephants, or is it going to be at a critical point no matter what? Because whether or not Americans can hunt there, people from other countries can. Americans can still come hunt there. They just can't take their trophies home right now. So is enough being done that these elephants are going to be saved?
Yeah, so on the ground in places like Zimbabwe, again, you know, it's very hard to know for sure because the government corruption is so rampant and there's so much government instability. So that's why, again, I think we need to do everything we can to prevent American citizens from adding to the hunting pressure or the pressure that the species is facing in the country. You know, that's something that's uniquely within our purview, that we can actually make a difference by making sure that Americans are not contributing to the demise of the species in the wild. But then overall, you know, if you look at sort of the way the pendulum has swung over the past 30 years, you see that in the 1970s and 1980s, there was an onslaught of poaching of elephants all across Africa, and the population declined from about 1.3 million to 600,000. It was fully cut in half because of all of that pressure. And then when the global ban on ivory trade was put in place, populations were at least able to stabilize a bit, and poaching declined. But then over the years, that ivory ban was weakened, and you kept having this sort of drip-drip where some countries, including Zimbabwe, were allowed to trade in ivory, countries were trading in hunting trophies, so the poaching pressure started up again. I think the best thing we can do is say unequivocally that until there is conclusive evidence that populations of African elephants are increasing continent-wide, we're not going to do anything to put extra pressure on the population. That's the best thing we can do.
And how do you know about how low the population is right now? You said it had gotten down to 600,000 from 1.2 million. Do we know about what it's at right now?
Yeah, various estimates are out there, but the most recent one pegged it at around 400,000, maybe even a little less. So you can see that there's this extra poaching pressure. And again, it's because in 1997, the ivory ban started to get weakened. And even as much as a couple of years ago, as recently as a couple of years ago, you had situations coming out of Zimbabwe where hundreds of elephants were being poisoned with cyanide, which is, of course, incredibly grotesque and brutal, so that they can get their ivory. So, you know, that poaching pressure is on again, and that's why it's the wrong time to start adding to the pressure.
Now, I would guess that some people would say, well, 400,000, that's plenty of elephants. Why are we so concerned about this?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a really interesting point. It's a good one if you're only looking at numbers, right? But you're looking at, number one, a species that we know has an incredibly huge range across all of Africa, continent-wide, so it's not a very small range. And then secondly, you know, it's not just about the numbers. It's about the impact on the ecosystem. Elephants are incredibly vital to the ecosystem in which they thrive. And also, there are some countries where elephants are literally being wiped out. So in Central Africa, populations are declining significantly. In West Africa, there are some countries where they're all but gone. So they're significantly concentrated in Southern Africa. And what we see in the trajectory of poaching and consumption of ivory is that as poaching pressure destroys populations in one part of Africa, the poachers simply move to another part. And so that's where ultimately that number could keep declining, and you could end up with a species that at least in some countries goes extinct.
Adam Roberts, thank you so much for jumping on the phone. As the decision finally does come out down the road, we'll touch in again, okay?
Perfect.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. That's Adam Roberts.